Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey, girl, hey, welcome to another episode of my weekly podcast, Taste of Taylor. I'm your host, Taylor Strecker. And today, OMG, I have one of my oldest
OMG
and dearest friends in the industry, Emma Willman, hanging
What's
out with
going
me.
On?
Hey, girl, hey, wait, Emma and I've known you what now for 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, you think 5 years, I guess?
Yeah, we met at Sirius XM Radio.
Yep.
And
it's not called The Facility anymore.
I'll call it Sirius XM Radio.
This show's growth.
I'm learning how to let go.
Yeah.
So that's how we met. And then when I got fired from the facility, I came over here, DNR Studios, and you came with me, which fucking amazing. And you were here for like a year.
Yeah.
And listen, it's just the nature of like the way I've structured the radio show. It's a rotation of co-hosts and everybody that I'm really good at picking talent. I fucking know good talent when I see it. But the bad part of that is when you pick good talent, they grow and they leave. But that's just the way it is.
You know, also one thing I think that being good with picking talent too, because it's like you're talking to these people for a long time.
Yes.
So say someone was going in for an odd, if this was like an interview of figuring people out, you're really getting to know people. By the way, I fucking love Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
Oh my God, how good.
Why is he so funny?
Isn't he so good?
He's so funny, it's weird. And then I followed him on Instagram afterwards, then his Instagram started popping
up. Blowing up.
And I just was like, wait a minute, this guy is so funny.
Fat Carrie Bradshaw is fucking amazing.
He's great.
Yeah. So he's on the Taylor Strecker show.
Cool.
Have you met Jesse Jollis?
Of course. I've known Jesse for years too. Dude. We did some videos, I think and she's super funny we did some Bustle. We did videos for Bustle.
Yeah.
Way back in the day. And then we tried to make our own videos for a now defunct underwear company.
Stop.
And we would have predicted that fall from grace on their part.
Can you say which company?
It's called Thinx.
It was Thinx.
Ooh, man.
Period panties.
Let me tell you. So you know how, so the CEO of this company, Thinx, got in trouble, right?
Wait, it's defunct? It's gone now?
I know that CEO that we worked with isn't there anymore.
Okay.
And we could have seen that coming.
Do tell.
So we had gone in, I had done this podcast with another underwear company. I think you were on it before, Dear Kate, where I used to talk to women about the first time they got their periods.
Yes.
Now, the reason how that came about was I had done a line in a commercial for them, and then on their YouTube, people started sharing their story about memories with that. So I was like, oh, this could be fun, branded content to do. So we were doing that, going well. They stopped doing the underwear because Thinx like took over. So then I asked Thinx if they'd be interested in that. No, they said, we'll do some videos. So I asked Jesse, you want to do some videos? And we go in and we met. And we were like, it was one of those things we left and we were like, did that woman seem kind of weird to you? So something was very off.
Huh.
And then when I read in the New York Times, for me to read something in the New York Times, it means that article's everywhere because I'm not naturally reading. It'd be like if I heard it on NPR. You know, I'd be like, I heard it. You don't listen to NPR. It was about the woman. I think she was sexually harassed. Straight and she was like sexually harassing her female employee.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. I guess.
You know, that's so crazy. I had a friend recently, and I'm not going to go into great detail because this is not public knowledge, but she had a female superior not like her employer, but definitely like somebody who was like in the food chain above her.
Yeah.
And she was saying fucked up shit to her, like dress sexier, like it's media. So there was like a Instagram component to it, let's say, or like a video component, YouTube component. And she was like, yeah, you know, I really want you to dress more fuckable.
Ooh, ruh-roh.
And I'm like, wait a second. And I said to my friend, that's fucking Harvey Weinstein sexual harassment. She was like, yeah, but she's a straight woman. She's not hitting on me. I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, you can't say. And because I guess in it, I was reading it. She used to like kind of grab one of the employee that filed it. She would like grab the woman's boobs and make comments about her weight in front of people. Really uncomfortable.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know what? I actually had a female employer.
Not cool.
And we won't go into more detail than that as well, because I get scared. But she, I did a shoot with her one time and she wanted me to like, she was very hands-on. And she wanted me to wear certain colors because it was like a certain time of the year is what I'll say. And so I said, you know, I'm really comfortable in all black. And at that point I was like gaining weight. Now I look back and I'm like, I wish I was that weight, whatever. I digress. So I was like, well, I'm like, I'm kind of uncomfortable. Can I just wear like a sparkly necklace to like give it like pizzazz?
Right. She's only if your tits are out.
Yeah. Right. And she was like, no. You have to wear like certain colors. And I was like, I don't have that in my wardrobe and you're not giving me budget and you're not giving me a stylist. So fine. So I did my best. And I like, she full on shamed me. Like she was like making fun of my outfit. Like this is so crazy. And as she got to a point where she was like, it's not working. I like nothing and, you've brought. And I was like, well, I brought an all black outfit just in case of the backup.
Was she someone that was supposed to even be commenting on your wardrobe? Were you doing on camera stuff?
It was on camera.
Oh, it was on camera.
And I will say she was, for her position, it was kind of overstepping.
Right.
You know? And so anyway, so she took me in the bathroom and she said, you're going to put on my dress. And I said, you're like a two.
Right.
I fucking can't. She's like,
well, you're going to put on part of it.
She said, well, on you, it will be a shirt.
Bitch.
And so I was like, okay. So I was like, let's do it. So I put it on and
it fit.
It was my tits
it
are
works.
Falling out.
Right.
Well, I mean, it was a shirt.
Right.
But when you're wearing someone's dress as a shirt, you don't really feel super awesome about yourself.
Right.
But then she had nothing to wear. So she had to put on my clothes.
Oh,
and
God.
She could not have made a bigger scene. She was like, oh my God, you see how huge these clothes are on me in front of everyone.
Right.
And she was like, I look ridiculous. Those are her pants and her sweater. I look like fucking Santa Claus. Right. And I was like, is this for real right now? Like, I'm supposed to go on camera, something I was not used to doing at that time, and like crush. And I'm like feeling like this like fat, like ill-fitted, like inappropriate blob woman.
Right.
It was like the
inappropriate blob woman.
It was horrible. That's
Taylor's going to start a cartoon called Inappropriate Blob Woman.
But like, yeah, straight women, I just want to let you know, you can actually be on a very dangerous Me Too line as well.
Well, it's also really tough too. It's like if something makes you uncomfortable and you don't like something and something's inappropriate. And then when is it sexual harassment too? And then the lines get like very like blurry and it can get kind of confusing, especially if it's someone that like has a naturally over the top personality, because people should be able to be their over the top selves. Like I remember in this meeting, but those two instances are like, that's not just over the top. That's uncomfortable.
No.
Like lines are getting crossed. I remember when we were in the meeting, the woman like apologized at one point. She was talking about how we needed to do this now because she was going to go trip on shrooms for a week or something.
Stop it.
So she needed to, we needed to like get this like cleared away now. So then like before she like wiped her memory bank clean or something. And then she didn't give us a work. The budget was not, it was impossible to do what we were asked to do with the budget. And the way we did it was because Jesse and someone she was working with just stayed up 24 hours editing the videos themselves.
Damn.
And we were looking back and we were like, okay, that's the type of thing we should have said no to.
Yeah.
You know, but then it was like a while later that something came out. And we were like, oh my God, that fucking woman. Like we knew it when we left the meeting. We were like, what was up with her? Turns out drugs, you know, like, oh yeah, she mentioned it, but we didn't know. And now I don't know what, you know, sometimes you just get a feeling about someone and then you're like, that is verified. So that's how Jesse and I met. And then
that's
so
crazy.
Happy to see her pop up here. And I know her brother, Danny, who I think is really funny too.
So funny. Well, so Emma is in the podcasting world. Check out her podcast. She's got two.
Yep.
She got Inside the Closet with Emma Willman and Mateo Lane. And then also, of course, Sacred Keepers Club with Carly Aquilino.
And I'm going to start my own. I want to start my own about analyzing dreams. You think that's a good idea?
Oh my God, that is so funny you fucking said that. Here, let me tell you. I'm here for it, Emma. Like,
really?
I fucking love it.
Okay.
When I was like serious, before you guys came on, it was just me and Kenny. We used to do this thing called Dream Talk. There was like a whole theme song.
Ooh.
It was called Dream Talk. Welcome to the show. I loved it. I thought it was great. Kenny loved it. Turns out the audience fucking hated it.
Really?
Recently, people keep making this analogy of like, ugh, like, you know, I don't want to see pictures of your baby the same way I don't want to hear about your dream. And
okay,
I'm like,
so I've heard that.
Dreams are fascinating.
So I actually saw this woman do a joke about that I thought was really funny. Her name's Shannon, and I'm going to totally botch the joke, and I don't know her last name, so I've screwed this up. But she was talking.
Congrats, Shannon. This is your Shannon. Moment.
So she said the joke was something about where she was like, you know, when someone's describing a dream, they're giving you all these details that you just don't give a fuck about. They'll be like, I was in a blue pool. No, it was a green pool. No, it was an orange pool. No, it was a pink pool. Oh, what kind of pool was it? Oh, it was a brown pool. Wait, let me think what kind of pool was. Olive green. No, maroon. And I was walking and my grandfather was there. No, it was my grandmother. What was it? And then they turned into a bug. And you're like, yeah, the amount of me not give a fuck is huge. So the way I was, and that I'm even trying to, even when I'm talking about it, because it's like with podcasts, everyone's like, what's the angle?
Right.
So that's how I was like, well, I'll talk to people about dreams they've had, then I'll try to analyze them with a dream expert. Maybe I don't even give a fuck about it. I don't know.
But I think it's a good idea. But I'm just saying, I've heard recently people talking about that. And I'm like, I thought everybody loved my dreams.
Right.
Here I am.
You guys don't care that I think my uncle's a walrus and then I was a banker and then I died in a game of Monopoly? That doesn't seem interesting to you guys? Fuck.
And also, aside from the podcasting, Emma is a fucking fantastic stand-up comedian. I think I recently wrote something on your Instagram. Follow Emma at Emma Willman. 2 M's, 2 L's, 2 N's.
Yes, I had to think Woo! About it too. Yeah, nailed it. You did it right.
But you are posting, I'm so here for you posting as much comedy as possible. But like, I've known you for so long I've heard you like tell jokes on the air or then like I've seen you perform them and set, but like you've always been hilarious, but there's something going on, sister.
Desperation, Taylor. That's what it is.
Well, it's working, sweetie
Thanks.
Pie. Because I spend most of my toilet time on Instagram. That's when I go exclusively while pooping.
Okay, question.
Yes.
Have you ever been on the toilet on Instagram and then you go to the bathroom and then you're still doing Instagram and then you get nervous that people were think you were in there pooping for like 6 hours? Because I've had that happen where I'll go to the bathroom, then I get distracted on Instagram.
Yep.
I'm done going to the bathroom in a normal amount of bathroom time, but I'm still on Instagram. So by the time I leave, it looks like
no, because
that doesn't happen to you.
I don't go number two in public places if I can help it. And if I am, I'm in and I'm out.
Even if you go pee, if you're on Instagram, they don't know what you're doing in there. Uh-uh. All they know is you've been in the bathroom for an hour and a half giggling or crying or whatever your reaction Instagram is. They're going, what the fuck is Doug doing? Because you're on Instagram, but they don't know that.
I will hold it, and then I will spend 2 hours in my bathroom at home.
Okay, so I need to do that, because like that happened the other day. I was at an airport. I went in, went pee, whatever. Boom, boom, boom. How long does that take? 30 seconds?
Yes.
I start texting. It's like 15 minutes later, I leave, and I'm like, oh, they must have thought I was just like in there having a problem for quite a while. So I got to get better about that.
So I'm pooping and I'm watching my Instagram stories and going through Instagram, and like very little on Instagram brings me joy these days. You know, it's like, I mean, and my friends are doing great and I'm fucking proud of everybody.
Is social media ruining America?
Great question, Emma.
Someone else asked me that the other day.
I feel it is and it isn't. Because look at people
America
like us.
Deal. Right.
We are able to cultivate our own audiences and build our own thing. We don't have to have the man at Universal Studios say like, kid, you're really going to be a star.
Right.
So I like social media for giving us our own platform.
Right.
But it is kind of, I think, robbing us of like genuine connection.
Sure.
And like actual, just like we are constantly not feeling fucking FOMO. I don't even want to swim with the stingray.
Oh.
But when I see it.
Right.
On Instagram story, totally. I'm like, why the fuck am I not swimming with the stingrays?
Amen. Totally. 100%. And then you're like, how is it? And I think it can be definitely really destructive too to people, because like at least we'll see how manipulated it is sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Like I saw this picture.
It's the highlight reel of your life.
Highlight reel of your life. And also now there's times where I'm like, I didn't even know media could be. I'm still being surprised at how media can be manipulated. Like there's a picture of James Corden. And he was doing his carpool karaoke, but he was getting like the car was being towed while he was doing the carpool karaoke. And so someone was like, what? He's not really driving. And then he was like, I usually am driving, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, oh, yeah, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But you never fucking know what's happening.
No.
Because they cut and edit. And like I've seen stuff and I go, oh, I never did. It's just Instagram's like a little microcosm of that.
Totally. I actually just interviewed somebody named Ashley Maleo. I don't think you know her because I know you're not like a huge Bravo watcher, but she was a daughter on The Real Housewives of New Jersey for like ever. And her mom was like one of the OGs.
My girlfriend was on an episode of Real Housewives Beverly Hills. I wanted to tell you about that.
No! Yes. Wait, tell me about that first.
Okay. I'm still dating the makeup artist.
Okay. So Emma's dating life when you were on the radio show was called Emma's Dating Dilemma.
Yeah. It was like Emma's good at mental health problems.
And Emma went on a date one time. I'm sorry. We have to tell the story.
Please.
And she had just gone grocery shopping. You gone grocery shopping.
Yeah, I had.
And she like panicked at the end of the date and didn't know like how to say goodbye to the girl.
Beginning
so she gave her
date.
Her girl. Oh, you beginning.
Yeah.
And you gave all your groceries to your date.
Yeah.
In one of the weirdest social interactions ever to happen on a fucking first date.
Amen. She was a hairdresser and she said, come by, I'll do your hair. I said, okay. And then I said, hey, can I bring you snacks? She said, yep. So I got my groceries. I got like 2 bags of groceries, which, you know what? My bad for bringing that in the first place. I think this was a second date and she had just said, swing by the salon. So I was like, oh, I'm in the area. Get her some groceries. Do you want snacks? Yeah. So I get her a couple snacks, put them on top of the bag. I go in and then she goes, oh, you're so sweet. You shouldn't have it. And I was like, huh? And then she just grabs the bags.
Oh, I misremembered this
story. And then I was like, wait. And I didn't have the heart to be like, no, you just, the top part, that's just for you. And then she was like texting me throughout the week, like, I can't believe you got me all these, like, apples.
Fiber.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I didn't, but.
They're my groceries.
But she turned out to be a Satan worshiper.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't take that stuff lightly. We didn't really connect. And then I remember.
But do you mean figuratively she's Satan?
No.
Or do you mean she literally worships Satan? Like
Taylor,
666?
I hadn't realized it, but as part of her, it was like something in her Instagram had 666 in it.
Stop.
And I said, I am not into that. No, get that out of here. I don't like it. Not a fan. I'm like not into it. I don't even think it's funny. Like I'm like, no, Lucifer. Like, no. Bad. You know?
So I was going to tell you that Ashley, when I had her on the podcast, was saying that, like, she has watched scenes before where things are cut out of sequence. She said, if you watch very closely, like, I'll have my bag on. Then I'm fighting. My bag's gone. And then when I'm talking to the police, my bag's back on again.
Right.
In the exact same way. She's like, because it happened at before.
Right.
So there are things that are taken out of context. So wait. So you
and
have
that's someone, and that's someone's job, literally, on shows, is
editors.
To say... Well, even on shows, they'll have someone, I don't know if they do it on reality, but they'll say, okay, Taylor, when you sat down, your cup was full. We need to refill your cup.
Continuity.
It's continuity. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really important because that's how you can, and listen, it happens all the time.
Right.
Like, it happened even like with Game of Thrones. There was like a fucking Starbucks coffee cup on the table. So it happens all the time, but like, you can tell when that stuff happens that like, yes, sometimes they take things out of chronological order, which is fucking with the truth to some degree.
And it's making it more entertaining. So maybe that's not a bad thing too. Cause I'm like, well, I'm watching this to be entertained, not to necessarily, but then I think if you're in the person in it, you're like, hey, like I didn't say I think rabbits shouldn't be allowed to live in the forest
exactly.
or whatever.
Exactly.
You said, I want rabbit soup. And now I look like I'm anti-rabbit.
Authenticity.
And in this day and age, you're going to get in big trouble for being anti-rabbit.
Big trouble. Authenticity is key. Key. But I do feel like, you know, like we're all guilty of editing our lives just by the fact that we use social media. But wait, you're dating the same girl.
Same girl. We're in a relationship. It's been a while and it's one of the easiest relationships I've ever had. She's so low maintenance and she's just great. And, you know, because she's a makeup artist, hairdresser, she works in the business, she used to work with musicians and athletes, and then it turned into, now she sees like a smaller group of clients that are just like private clients. So, I mean, they're like, I think it's like she has an actress she always works with. She's got this like billionaire tech guy.
Ooh.
She does his hair.
Elon Musk?
No, he's really nice. I don't know if I'm allowed to say his name. He's
don't
really
say it.
Nice. Yeah, I won't.
I'm gonna tell you, don't say it.
He's so nice. Like I haven't met him, but he's someone who like worked really hard, invented something, it went public, he became worth $1 billion and he retired. And was like, I'm good.
Living the dream.
And she says, really nice, but you know what? She says that he's always asking her to set him up with people because he's like, I'm not really connected to, I'm sure he doesn't phrase it like this, but normal people anymore.
Right.
And he has a hard time. He's like, still wants that.
When I was married to husband, who was my rich ex-husband, in case people don't know.
Welcome to the show.
I remember, it's me.
Yeah.
Do you not listen to me? I remember that we moved into Tribeca and he was kind of like, hey, we should meet some new friends in the building. And I'm like, well, we have lots of friends. And he's like, yeah, but we should meet friends that like can do stuff with us that we want to do.
Right.
And I'm like, I read between the lines, but it was like, let's get some fucking rich friends because we're fucking rich. And there is,
he's looking for the opposite of that now because I think now all of his friends are mega rich.
So he wants some normal people.
And I think he's maybe looking for someone that maybe wouldn't, you know, want him because he's literally worth $1 billion. Now, here's the problem with that.
It's crazy.
How hard is that? So we stayed at his apartment in, he's in a place in New York, and it's insane. I've never been in something like this. It's insane. It's one of the Kushner buildings, which I didn't know when the Kushners live in it in New York. It's in Soho, and it's very nondescript on the outside.
Is it like a big skyscrapers or like a low key?
It's very low key on the outside. Yeah. And then you go in and it's like every bananas. Nuts. But the reason we live there.
Does it have stairs in it?
No, but it's absolutely huge.
I asked because I watched Million Dollar Listing, and I was like, I was like, maybe I can go through all the apartments.
It's got elevator that leads you right into it. But so I say all this too. We've got so many stories to catch up on.
And he doesn't even like live here.
No. So the reason we even live there, I'll say this, and I promise I'll tell the Beverly Hills story.
Yeah.
So my apartment in New York, I have a studio, and then I'll rent it out when I'm gone.
Yes.
So I was going to be in town.
And you're gone a lot.
And I was gone a lot, especially now I live in L.A.
Right.
So I was going to come in to Thanksgiving to be at my aunt's place in Connecticut. So my mom was like, oh, great. So we'll stay at your place, and we'll spend some time in New York. We'll have dinner with your sister, and then we'll go to your aunt's. Great. So then Ashley, the makeup artist, was like—
Your girlfriend.
My girlfriend was like— She was like, she was going to come to New York. She's like, the next time you go to New York, I'm going to come. I said, great. So then it was around Thanksgiving. And I was like, okay, mom, like, get a hotel. Now my mom can get a hotel, but I was like, shit, she's going to want to spend more time with me. My mom was like, but if Ashley comes, then I guess it might be weird for her because we're all going to want to spend time together. So I guess we'll just all stay at your place in the studio. That might be weird, but it's okay with me.
Your mom.
And I was like, ugh. And I didn't have the heart to be like, no, that's weird. Yeah. That's just weird. So I didn't have the heart to do it. So Ashley, I was like, you know, my mom wants to make sure we get to spend more time together.
Parents.
And so Ashley was
like, they know no boundaries.
And Ashley was like, let me ask my client if we can stay at his place. He's got like 5 bedrooms. So he said, sure, no problem. So then we got to stay at his place.
With the whole fam?
With just my mom. And she was like, this is nice. You know, there's like Rembrandts in the place. It's beyond nice.
I cannot.
But it also is, I was like, yeah, do we know any nice girls that would like him that, like, not because he's super rich? But it's like, even when you say that, people are like, oh, I'll like him not because he's super rich. Like,
I mean, I like him.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, I'll date the guy. I'm moving in. You know?
Like, I mean, if it doesn't work out with me and Tay, like, he's mine.
Right, exactly.
I call dibs.
And I guess he's like really like sincere and nice. So,
how old is he?
30s, young.
Shut up.
Yeah, he's cute too. I saw pictures. I said, why does he have any problem dating? She goes, he doesn't have any problem dating.
I got a girl. What's his type? Let's find it for real. Are you kidding me?
I think he likes people that are like maybe like funny and cool and can go to lots of different events.
Quirky, smart, tall, thin.
Yes. I mean,
Taylor's sister.
Oh, cool. So, okay, great.
She's newly single. So I'm not joking. She's a carbon copy of Tay.
Oh,
she's
wow.
She's like fucking real bookwormy. She's
awesome.
In tech.
Oh, great. Awesome.
And like, she's fucking hot.
That'd be cool.
But she's like a real person.
Yeah, I think that's what he's looking for.
Okay,
I think that's
okay.
A missing link.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And then he'll buy us stuff, right?
Yay. See, that's the problem. That's the problem. Because when someone's at that level, like every interaction, then you got 2 people over in the corner like—
We set you up.
Yeah, like a finder's fee. Give me the finder's fee. $1 million. You know it's nothing to you. Are you paying for this, by the way? You know what I mean? And I was like, what's a thank you gift I give him? I go, I can't get him anything. She goes, no, the whole point is just treat him like a normal person.
Right.
So I said, all right. So I got him, you know, a couple knickknacks. And I go, how's this? And she was like, that's fine. She's like, just got to be normal.
Right. So, rich people get really, they just want to be normal. Wham.
Right. I know. Right. And that's the other thing. You can't sympathize for the person too much. But.
Well, I'm here to set him
okay,
up.
Okay, we'll do some matchmaking.
Like, but he lives where?
I mean, I think people with billions of dollars
live all
over the place.
He lives in the world. He owns the world.
I don't know where he was, like Bora Bora. I don't know. Like,
she'll fucking move.
Yes. I mean, but I think it's like something like he lives a lot of different places, maybe.
Okay.
But he's super nice. So.
Okay.
Super
okay.
Nice guy.
Okay.
Nice, normal guy.
Short, tall.
I think I've never met him in person. I think normal.
Good.
Normal
she likes
height.
That.
Yeah.
She's attracted to it.
Yep.
She's tall, but she likes a guy who's a little bit like. Couple
so she
shorter.
Broke up. Was it a big breakup? Were they together a long time?
No, it wasn't like super, super long, but she was just, she's, Tay's sister is like, she's the baby of the family.
Yep.
She's got like all older siblings that are all like in long-term relationships or like married with kids. And, you know, I have to give her credit because it was funny. Recently, she was talking about how she just broke up with the guy she was dating and she feels really bad.
Yeah.
But she said he wasn't my person.
Right.
He didn't do anything wrong.
That's good she didn't waste his time.
And I was like, so we were talking about it. And of course, Tay's mom And we were like, oh, when is she gonna meet a guy? You know, right. We were like, and my tailor was like, you guys, she knows what she wants and doesn't want. Isn't that a good thing? And I was like, actually, she probably shouldn't take advice from me considering that I married somebody because they asked me to marry them.
I get it.
Like, I'm like, oh, you like me? Oh, we can get married, I guess. Totally. I don't really know how I feel about you. But it's like the first person I ever like pursued and wanted to be with was my girlfriend, Taylor. Right. Every other guy I dated, no offense, guys, but it's the truth. Like, they were like, I like you. And I was like, oh, want to get married?
Right. Yeah. I guess that's how it is. When I graduated college, the first job interview I went on, which literally was to be a recruiter for construction executives. This made no sense. And they said, oh, they wanted to hire me. And I went, oh, all right, I guess I have to work here now. And then I worked there and it was a disaster because I don't know anything about construction. Like, I had no, and I couldn't. And then I was like, I just took it because then someone asked if I wanted to do it.
Because they wanted you.
Because they wanted me. I go, yeah. Oh, well, it's a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
Cut to a week later.
What do I want? Forget that.
Right.
They want,
mm-hmm.
Let me give them what they want.
Runaway Bride. Have you seen that movie?
Totally.
Classic. In it, he's talking about what is your favorite way to have eggs. And then whatever she says, she realizes was what all of her ex-husband's favorite were to have eggs. And he goes, you don't even know how you like your eggs.
Yep.
Sounds a little critical of him. But, you know, the point stands. It's like
accurate.
You're just saying it because the other person says it. Then you got to take a minute and go, I hate runny eggs.
Right.
You know, I like all eggs personally, but.
My favorite right now is a little zucchini.
Ooh.
And I make like a frittata.
Fancy.
With some Parmesan cheese.
Good for you.
Yeah, girl, it's the best.
Good for you.
I have it like once a day.
Are you cooking a lot at home?
Emma, you got to come see our new house. It's so, and I call it a house. It's a fucking house.
They posted on it on the, they've been posting about you talking about it on the Facebook group.
Yeah. I mean, there's like public pictures of it. I have to do an apartment tour, but
you
should.
That's a good idea.
I kind of feel like I'm invading my own privacy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I also feel like I owe it to the audience. So like, right. I have yet to do it because I guess I'm conflicted, but like, I'll fucking just do it. But like, it's so fucking sick. It's like totally changed my life. And like, now I'm like exercising, I'm dieting.
Oh, that's great.
I'm like getting really on track. I'm like very clear. I feel like you and I.
How are you doing the exercising?
The guy who I, do you remember Anthony Carino, don't you?
Yes, of course.
It's his place.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
So his fiance runs this workout place called Jane Doe.
Cool.
And it's all dance
like
based.
Jane Doe?
You know, yeah.
Or is that not
No,
what like?
Totally.
Yeah.
But Jane Doe.
Right.
I wonder how people fuck up with Jane Doe.
So like Jane is doing things.
Exactly.
Not Jane
not being
is
dead.
A dead body. Whew, that's freaking intense. Is she Italian?
Yes.
That's very Italian ever.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's all dance based and they're all former Rockettes.
Oh God.
Yeah.
And you're doing that?
It's
that
awesome.
That sounds so scary.
It's so scary and hard, but it's awesome. And so she has a studio right near where I live. So I just go work out there now. So
that's
it's like,
great.
They gave me an apartment. They're giving me my health back.
They're setting
they're
you up.
They're giving me a future.
That's great.
So I'm like in a good place. You're in a good place.
Yeah.
It seems. So you're in LA.
I'm in LA.
You're with your girlfriend now for how long?
I guess it's been, I mean, we all know if you listen to when I was on the radio show, you know that there wasn't much lag time between me and the person I was with before.
Listen,
a little overlap.
There was not much lag time between me and Taylor from my fucking marriage.
I've been
no
seeing a therapist
judgment.
Too since like actually going like talking to a therapist every week and like unpacking stuff. And but this relationship is really it's just really easy, and it's such a small world because she dated Darren's ex.
Darren Karp, who is also on the radio show now.
Yeah, even though I'll tell you this, my girlfriend is nothing. Her and Darren are very different.
Very different.
I don't want anyone thinking I would date a man one. I don't know if Darren identifies as a man one, but he's a little masculine. I just don't want anything. One thing that is, I'm just saying my girlfriend's very feminine. Not that it matters. Not that it matters.
I wanted to talk about this man one thing because I'm feeling very man one-ish lately. You got it. Yes. Man one can be a look, but a man one can also be a vibe, and a man one can also be like a way of life. I'm telling you, Emma, I'm a man one.
You might be more, no.
You know what's interesting with Carson?
Women ones always think they're the man ones because they're like, I make the plans. I did the arrangements. Someone could be a more alpha woman, a more, you know, driven woman.
I'm going to tell you why I'm the man one, but no. But wait, so for Carson and Darren gives
also,
off.
Also, I know this is totally problematic. It's just a fun talking point.
So, we know that we should be calling man ones
it's
and women ones.
It's an energy.
And we're lesbians and we're allowed to.
Yeah.
Okay, so just like back the fuck off.
Right.
We're LGBTQ+. We're allowed.
Sure.
For now.
Yeah.
We'll get in trouble in 5 years.
Room. Right.
You know, for this exact conversation. But so Darren and Carson are, so there's different types of lesbians, right? Mm-hmm. There's
all different types of people.
Exactly. There are, there's like butch lesbians
mm-hmm.
and sometimes butch lesbians will be together,
mm-hmm.
right? Then there's like lipstick lesbians mm-hmm. where they just basically look like they're like in a, I don't know, like a, Blurred Lines video, mm-hmm. models just making out with each other. Yep. They're also called porn stars.
Right. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. And then there's like couples who there's a more feminine one and then there's a more masculine one.
Right. But even in those
Butch and then on, there's twins.
And those Butch on Butch ones, though, I bet one of them, because it's not necessarily about men and women, it's about the energy of yin and yang. And I think sometimes, like the trainer that I see, he's this big jack guy, right? And we were talking and he was talking about, I said, oh, you know, my girlfriend's got so much stuff. She wants, we're setting up in her apartment and we're doing all these activities. And I go, she's the woman one. And he goes, oh, well, I'm the one that always does that with me and my wife. And then he goes, you know, I don't think gender roles really exist anymore. And I was like,
Great.
So he's right.
But they actually do.
He's right.
Because when a guy does a woman thing, like, okay, so like, let's say you're in a heterosexual relationship.
It's and about the
guy
the balance
refuses
of a relationship.
To kill the mouse.
Right.
You're like, you fucking pussy.
Right.
Do it.
It's well,
man up.
I guess if you're a really aggressive wife, that's you call your husband a
that's
fucking
the kind of
pussy.
Wife I was.
Yeah, right.
Not to brag.
You fucking pussy.
You fucking pussy. Fine,
that's
that
my girl. Yeah, it's a. I think it's about like the energy of like, you know, like just two different people complimenting each other. Yes. And then I'm just ascribing a gender to those different energies.
Oh, I'm here for it. I mean, I remember when I was straight, I use air quotes when I say that.
Like when someone's having sex, one of the people's going to be on top.
Right.
Right.
That's a man one.
That's a man one. But a woman can be on top and then she's still the woman one though. So it gets tricky. It gets tricky. It's just how they're on top is a different energy.
When I was married, I remember.
The man one's pounding, the woman one's riding. Not to get too dirty.
So when I was married to Wasbin, this article came out. It was like in Cosmo maybe because I was working at Sirius. And it was like by the year 2025, more women in American households will be the breadwinners over sure. men. And I was like,
hell yeah, good for them.
Furious. No, I was livid.
No, bad.
Livid.
Right.
Because I was like, no, that's a man's job.
Right.
And I grew up in such a traditional home. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad was a breadwinner, yada, yada, yada. And like, you know, cut to my life now. Thank God that study existed.
Right.
And it's possible because if women are the breadwinners and they got to make a little bit more money, am I right? Am I right? But it's like, it is crazy. I very much ascribe to gender roles, even now that I'm in like a genderless type of a scenario.
It's very ingrained in our head. Race, class, gender stuff is just like, we don't even know
it.
How entrenched it is because it's everywhere in the marketing. That's how people use to market things.
So
even if I do a Facebook ad, I had been started thinking, okay, well, who responds to me the most? Okay, usually actually it's like the people that come out to shows usually are more women, even though I do get along really well with men. So I was like, all right, so that's when if I do a Facebook ad, I'll start doing it, you know, 18 to 55-year-old women.
Exactly.
Just because I just notice you're trying to heighten what you're already getting traction with.
We are moving away from gender roles, but they will never, I mean, it's going to take like another century to fully just evolve and not see gender.
There's still going to be, I mean, these things are like talking points that sometimes, I mean, what? Then in 20 years, everyone's just going to be sitting in silence because there's words have been taken away because their words are problematic.
Yeah, seriously.
So I'll be like, I want oysters. And then other than that, you can't say anything else. And I'll be like, there's just won't even be any way to describe stuff, you know?
I'm with you. It's the pendulum swingeth a little too far.
Yeah, it's getting tricky. And then it could swing back. And then
that's so scary too. I was watching the Grammys recently and I was like, oh my God, you know, like it's so gay. Everyone was gay. Everyone,
really?
Everyone. And it's like rappers are gay and this is amazing.
Really?
And they're combining country with rap music. What's going on? There are no boundaries.
Right.
But then I get scared that like, there's gonna be people that are like, it's gone too far.
Right. Yeah.
And that would be the president.
Right. Yeah. You're like, oh God.
And then I get scared. I mean, you know, the government, I don't know like when it's passing and maybe it already has, but they're like basically pushing to make it like not illegal to fire somebody based on sexual orientation.
Oh boy.
So like you could fire somebody for being LGBTQ.
Right.
That's fucking scary.
You know, something that they're forgetting too is when you have something that ambiguous for why they're firing a person, that's just not going to affect people in those groups. That's going to affect anyone that's going to want to say that they think that you're that. So say I don't like someone, I'll say, guess what? They're fired because they're gay. And the person will be like, I'm not gay. And I'll be like, prove it. You know, like, have sex with your wife in front of me. And like, that's all of a sudden going to start permitting that. And then they're doing it. And I go, well, I still think you're gay. Fired. And then they'll go, well, you're gay. And we're both fired. And then there's this guy and that guy. Because it's like, how do you necessarily prove that? So then you're like,
and
you're just firing people you don't like.
And we come back to who our president is. You're fired. You're fired.
Right.
You're fired.
Right.
He's just trying to make basically his reality show America.
Right.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Let's not even. No more politics. But with the gender roles and stuff. So I will say.
So that's all to say that I just don't want you to preface it by saying. Yeah.
But I will say that I think that Darren and her girlfriend Carson are actually like there's a subgroup of lesbians who they're twins.
Right.
So they're basically just attracted to themselves. Well, Carson and Darren are like they're identical. I mean not identical, but they look a lot alike, and they both have
Darren's
very
super cute.
So cute. They're both like they are feminine, but they have very masculine energy.
Interesting.
Like I feel like they walk with the bit with serious big dick energy.
Interesting.
Like I always say that Darren's a frat boy.
Interesting.
A horny frat boy. And
my
she'll
girlfriend's
say,
definitely not frat boyish at all. She's very classy.
So, but this idea of the man one. So you have this, you've had the joke. You have the joke. It's on your Instagram. Go find it and watch it. It's so fucking funny, Emma. I watched it like 10 times.
It's fun to do, you know, but
can you do it right now? Or is that like weird to put you on the spot? I know it's different to be on a podcast.
I'm so beaten down at this point, but this is it. But you can go to my Instagram. I always say,
or just give the general.
I always say, you know, like I like to say that people that have listened to me before are like, we get it. But I always like to say when I'm in a relationship, I'm the man one. I stomp around, I'm the man one. But women ones hate it. They're always like, the man one, what? Oh my God, you sound obnoxious and ignorant. Like you don't even know what you're talking about. And I'm like, yeah, see, I'm the man one. You women ones just talk. You don't listen.
I love it. It's so fucking good.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I love it so much.
Have you been doing stand-up? Because you were on tour with Stassi. So how is that going?
Okay, so here's the deal. You know my feelings about comedians because I worked with a true comedian for like 8 years straight. So I learned comedy through the eyes of Kenny.
Now these things are getting blurry too because
I know.
There's stand-up comedy, there's jokes. And you know what? At the end of the day, is someone giving someone a good time? Is someone making somebody laugh?
Here's the thing. I worked with the comedians for 4 hours, like when we were like in our heyday,
right.
4 hours, Monday through Friday. I was literally in comedy training with him. Uh-huh. We were doing fucking live improv and I was just trying to keep up with him. My job was to host and drive, but I also like to play.
Right.
So when he's telling the jokes, I also want to counter. It was like sparring almost in a friendly way.
Right.
And so I definitely learned from him and also watching him on stage, but I also learned to respect comedy and be like, comedians are people. It's like, what do they say? It's like, but have you like bombed in a basement? That's
exactly.
Like, that's a comedian
totally.
Thing where they are on the nightclub scene, which is a really hard circuit. Hands down.
It is hard.
Like stand-up comedy is the hardest part of this entire industry.
It's really tough on your head.
Like second is radio.
You think so?
Well,
I believe it.
It's like marathon running.
Well, I don't understand.
So long.
And I don't even understand how actors do it. I mean, that to me, I think is the weirdest. Truly.
Yeah, they're just going to plain pretend.
It's hard.
It's
supposed to be pretend in real way. There's like a whole psychology of it. I mean, it's tough. But like with comedy, it's a very real-time mind screw. Like I had 3 shows yesterday. First one, great. Second one, I was all frazzled. And then the third one was one of the best shows of my life. So it's like,
The audience, you guys need to know this. You play a massive role.
Oh, very important. Otherwise, we'd just be talking to ourselves.
I mean, we could do this in a vacuum. It feels like we know you're there and we love you when we need
you
there because that's how we actually make money. So thank you.
It's the difference between us being total psychopaths.
Oh, yeah. I would say if I didn't have this job, I'd be in the padded room.
Right. Just
like,
talking to yourself.
Straitjacket.
And they'd be like, what are you doing in there, Taylor? Podcasting. Trust me. Trust
like
me.
That scary girl in The Craft at
and
the end. When she's like, he's in me.
That'd probably be a good podcast, actually.
Be fantastic.
You know? Well, something to think about. Live from the psych ward. Literally.
But, you know, and even radio, it's like, we don't get that immediate feedback, but like, I grew up doing theater when I was younger, but it's been so long since I've had a live audience. So going on tour with Stassi, that shit was fucking scary. And I will tell you, you guys have so much power. I hope you understand that. When you go to a comedy show or a live show, like you can make or break our souls.
Sure.
Like we've come off stage and been like, we know we did good. We know we did what we always do. We are all crying.
Right. What happened? Yeah.
Bo's like, why? I'm not crying. You're crying. We're all crying. Like, what the fuck happened?
Also, sometimes someone can go out to see someone. I remember I opened up for this guy who's really famous, not a comedian. He did, I don't even know if he's really famous, but he did some like trivia show. And all these people came out to see him. And then when he was on, they were giving him nothing. And then when the show was done, they were all signed up to do a meet and greet and were like, oh my God, I love you. So it was like, they were just almost starstruck watching him do his thing.
And
so,
and Bo reminds us that he's like, people are watching. Some people, they think they're watching TV. So sometimes people, when they watch TV, they make no more noise. Sometimes people look like they want to punch you in the vagina.
Right.
Like that's just how they look. That's their face. And I'm like, well, don't they know that I'm actually here?
Right. Exactly. I can see you. You can see me. It's, you know, it's tricky.
It's crazy. But I will say,
How was the traveling when you did it?
Fucking brutal, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking brutal. But, and we're starting up again. going on a spring tour. Great. And we're going to be on a tour bus.
Okay, that's good. What were you on before?
We were just flying, and which is so brutal.
Yeah, it is.
So I don't know, but tour bus, dude, that's fucking hard too.
I've never done that.
Well, I'll let you know how it is.
So you'll get your own little like bunk bed?
You got it. Stassi was like, we're going to pull a mattress in the back, and you're going to sleep with me and Bo. And Bo and I looked at each other. We're like, no. I'm like, first of all, he needs to bang you.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be in the room.
Right. Yeah. No.
She's like, we're not having sex on the tour bus. Anyway, she's so nice to me. It's beyond.
Good.
Like, she's so concerned about me not feeling like I'm not, you know, a part of their team.
Well, having someone opening for you is like it's like, but now I have this, my friend Justin open for me when I get to bring an opener. And I remember when I was opening for people, I was like, oh my God, thank you for having me. It's such a good opportunity. But now to him, I'm like, hey man, thanks for coming. Cause I'm like,
that's how Stassi's me.
I'm paying him myself. I know he's not making as much as I am, but also it's like, I'm doing more of the work, but still it's like, yeah. I'm like, but thank you so much. Like, you're getting it all ready for me. It's like inviting people over to your house. And he's like the person setting the tone and all that stuff. It's like a big, it's a huge amount of trust and appreciation.
Well, that makes me feel good. I mean, yeah, when I first started with Stassi, I was like, I feel so bad. She's paying me. I'm not worth this. Like she's gonna regret this. She's gonna wish she could take
us
to tour.
She's probably so grateful. Like she's so great. And having someone that you like to spend time with, and like,
well, the tour manager like said to me, you know, in the beginning, the tour manager like tortured me a little bit. His name's Gary. Ha ha. Fuck you, Gary. I love Gary. He wrote me a song in his banjo. We're best friends.
Oh boy.
But he was basically like, you know, when we'd set the mic up, he's like, this is Stassi's mic. It's Bedazzled. It's mic number one. This is Bo's mic. It's number two. Taylor. You're mic number three. Hear that last mic. You're number three. You're bottom of the totem pole. I'm like, I get it, Gary.
Yeah, hey, fuck off, Gary. How about you're a grown man and you're traveling with a banjo? You need an emotional support banjo? What mic are you? None. That privilege was taken away because you're a meanie. How about that?
And
how about thing, I know what mic I am?
Or
buddy.
He'd be like, you know, you're the opener. Don't look at the headliner. But he'd
be joking.
He's totally joking. Yeah. But he did say like,
hey, no problem, Gary. Guess what? You're disposable. Okay.
But I will say, like, on this tour, he really has been like, this relationship is really special because, and I think again, it's changing, right?
Right.
So before it was like, if you were an opener, you were like poo-poo on the bottom of the headliner shoe. Like, you were just so lucky to be there. He said he literally would have opening acts be like, he would have headliners fire the opener because they looked at them walking through the stage at the hallway. Yeah,
wow.
And he said, he's seen the craziest shit. But I think things are changing. But like, for me, to answer your question, am I doing stand-up? I mean, girl, I guess I'm now finally trying to.
Sure.
But I don't even feel like I have owned or earned the, like, earned the chops to even say, yeah, I'm doing stand-up.
That's how I feel about acting. Where I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know. Like, that I truly don't even know. I know I'm beaten down from going on these freaking auditions to get me out of here, but I just, I don't know. It just is what it is. But
you did say it's changing. I mean, like, because I feel like there are, like, old school comedians that feel like if you didn't do it.
And then you got these people on TikTok dancing around with a cat. Making $1 billion. So
what's your perspective? Because you are comedy and you're evolved. You see like how you can kind of cross over into different lanes.
Oh, I'm thinking of getting on TikTok myself. You know, whatever.
Do it. I'm on TikTok.
Whatever.
Damn, if I know how to use it, but I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah. I'm getting close. Cause it's like, I'm like, you know, I'm just getting, you know, you get tired and then you're like, okay, I got to like figure out what's going to stick and give me traction so I can like move ahead. Cause it's like, you know, it's a beatdown sometimes. So TikTok it is. You're going to see me on there doing back that ass up or whatever. I don't know what kids are doing on there. But
I'm
going to
do that
in.
Bibbidi bobbidi boo.
Haven't even heard of that. We'll do our...
It's real cool.
If you listen back one time, Taylor and I had an audition where we had to pretend we were a tooth fairy.
We were toilet paper towel fairies.
And we had to sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
But in different ways. So they asked me to do it like I was in a heavy metal band.
Right.
So Emma could hear me.
But they didn't ask
the
anyone else to do it like they were in a heavy metal band.
I'm like,
so,
Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. And I committed, man.
And so I heard the person before her just singing it like normal. Then Taylor goes in and does that. And I was like, what is she doing? Because I didn't know they had asked her to do it like that. I was like, she's going in.
Mortified.
How did they sing it to her as a kid?
What's wrong with her parents?
What happened?
Devil worship.
Right. Yeah. So Ashley, my girlfriend was on Real Housewives.
Tell me.
So she was doing the hair for one of them and then they put her in like the background on it. And she said that show is actually accurate. She was like, they weren't spinning it. Those women were they were just filming them. Like, she was like, I've been on sets where, you know, yeah, they're manipulating it. Nope, like, here to report, that is how it is. Like, they are like that.
You just brought me so much joy. Because there's been a lot of people now questioning, like, Bravo's under some weird scrutiny right now, and a lot of shows are being questioned.
She witnessed. She was like, I went there, they put them together, they filmed. They drank, they filmed.
Yep.
There was the real crying, the woman that...
Was she just on it this past season? It must have been.
Yes, yeah.
With Denise Richards. Did you hear about that with Brandi Glanville?
She wasn't the one whose hair she was doing. She was doing Kelsey Grammer's wife's hair.
Kelsey Grammer. Yes. Camille Grammer.
Yeah. She said she was really nice.
Oh, I fucking hate Camille.
She said she was really nice. I don't know anything about the show.
I just hate her from watching. Really nice. I hate her from watching the show, but that's just like me as a fan.
She said she was really nice. She said the tears were real. And she was like, I mean, she was doing her hair, but she's also a makeup artist. So she's getting like, you know, tears everywhere all over the makeup. So she was trying to.
A lot of audiences are trying to call out all these shows being like, they're fake. They're fucking not fake. I watched the Vanderpump is so real. It is really so real.
Isn't that
interesting? If they only caught all the extra shit that happens when they're not filming, because shit, they're just dramatic people. They're always fucking fighting with each other.
And they're letting it rip because they are getting paid.
Even when the cameras aren't rolling, they're letting it rip. Wow. They let it rip because they let it rip.
Right.
They're a real group of friends.
Right.
At least, well, I mean, the new people are different, but like that core crew, they are like, people are all like mad that they're like successful. It's like, that's what fucking happens when you get put on a reality television show.
Right.
So that happened. So back to this man one thing.
Yes, anything.
Okay. So I really feel like I'm the man one and I need to talk about this with you. So I started feeling like the man one, like maybe a couple years into my relationship with Taylor. Cause like when I first met her, like she was like, she's got like, swag for days. Mm-hmm. Like she's tall, thin, blonde, like an off-duty model, but little fact about lesbian community and models, a lot of models are lesbians.
Oh, that's interesting.
Taylor told me that.
Well, I knew supposedly a lot of strippers are, but I had this friend that was a stripper way back in the day, and she said that it made it easier for her to strip because she didn't care as much what the guys thought because she wasn't nervous around them. And I was like, oh, I never thought of that.
She wasn't attracted to them.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Same with models.
Right.
Got all these male photographers being creepos and they're like, whatever.
Right.
We're gay.
Right.
So, but like Tay definitely, you can attest this. She's got like a masculine.
Absolutely.
Like demeanor about her.
100%.
But then sometimes she wears dresses and it makes me so mad and I get confused. What? Like, I don't even know you anymore. So I would definitely say she was
for her.
The identifiably like man one in the beginning, but I'm older. Mm-hmm. For right now, I am more established in my career. I'm older. Doesn't matter.
The woman one could be a stay at home dad.
But I am the breadwinner, which makes you feel more like the man one.
Nope.
But what recently?
I think that's internalized sexism, thinking that the woman one can't be the breadwinner. And then they ascribe it to being the man one because it's thinking that the man one's supposed to be the breadwinner, but that has nothing to do with the man one. Who loses the arguments? I'm betting it's Taylor.
So touche to that because
you argue laps around her. And at a certain point she gets beaten down and she just says, I'm sorry, you're right, I'm wrong. She's the man one.
I thought Taylor was the man one because she had swag. Then I thought I was the man one because I was making more money. You're right. I was wrong. That's sexist. I am officially the man one now because we are doing this delicate dance, not so delicate. I'm rapidly losing where she's the one that tells me tonight's a fun night or tonight's not a fun night. Tonight we can drink wine. Tonight we can't drink wine. Tonight we can be play. Tonight it's time to go to bed. She is the boss of my life.
Very woman one of her.
Like, and what happened is when we met, maybe it's not so black and white.
It is a gay relationship. I got confused.
When we met, I was the exact same person I am today.
Right.
She changed on me. That's such a woman one thing to do.
Yeah,
it's like, remember
corrected.
When we were young and fancy and carefree
and you used to not boss me around
and you didn't boss me around.
Yeah.
And now she's like, getting like, you know, cutting back on drinking and like being healthy and like trying to get like good sleep patterns and like, I don't know, taking care of her body and stupid shit like that.
Now
she has officially become the woman one and she nags me.
Oh, I was going to say, is there nagging involved? Now I can guarantee there's people listening to this right now and you're just bashing your head into the thing thinking how could this is so problematic? Like where, you know what? It's funny. It's just funny.
And you know what I realized?
Funny.
Poor men.
Yeah.
Men. Truly, like, yes, fine. White male privilege, it's a thing. It's like, go away. It's enough is enough. But I will say, when men are in heterosexual relationships with women,
beaten down.
My God, you know what you do? You say you're sorry when you're not because you just want to be happy and get along.
Right.
You don't know when you're going to get in trouble.
Right.
You're always like walking on eggshells.
Totally.
It's fucking scary being one.
It is. It's hard out. It's hard out there.
Hard out on these man ones.
And then you get, and then there's these certain questions where you're like, mayday, mayday. Because the other day, you know, my girlfriend said, she goes, just so you know, I've gained weight. I said, oh God, this, I said, I said, no, you have not. I don't think she has, but just her even saying that, I'm like, oh boy. Like, that's like, mayday, 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 mayday. You know what I mean? Like,
being a man once hard, like truly women in heterosexual relationships are for sure the boss of the relationship. And that's absolutely why guys go to strip clubs and they stay out drinking with their work friends.
Right.
Because they got to burn off some steam, man.
Right.
They're stressed as fuck.
You got to be right somewhere. You know what I mean?
But then what I also realize is because I am a woman, I don't get societal privileges that men get.
Mm.
Like, if I get drunk and stay out late, I'm a loser. A guy is just being a guy.
Well, at a certain point, I think if it was a guy in his, how old are you? 35?
Oh my God, I love you. Yes, I'm 35.
So you're 28, but like, it's like,
oh yes, I love you more. I'm 28.
Once you're out of college, at a certain point, that does get that. It wouldn't be like, oh, boys will be boys.
But it
so
is,
much
but
anymore.
Boys will be boys. Like, if a guy's going to strip club, it's kind of like, it's not ideal, but it's like,
right.
Guys, like, I feel,
I mean,
like,
look, my sister's husband would be in a lot of trouble if he was out.
My dad would be castrated.
Right, exactly. So it's not all, you know what I mean? Like, it's,
that's true.
And I remember the stripper said,
and I'd be like, I'll grow up.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. That's fair.
So it's tricky. I mean, I remember the girl I knew that was stripping, she once said she was always like, oh, men are assholes. And I was like, yeah, but they're paying to be an asshole in this very specific environment. You know what I mean? Like, if you worked at a movie theater, you're like, everybody in the world all the time is at the movies. And be like, no, you're working at the movies and people are paying to go to the movies. So that's where you see most people. So
right.
That's part of the experience they're paying for. You
also,
know?
Not to stereotype, but the kind of guys that go to strip clubs a lot are assholes.
it's a sample pool. Yeah, that isn't everybody. You
but
know what
I
mean?
Realize is I have all the social pressures of being a woman and then all like the like relationship pressures of being a man.
Yeah.
And it's fucking exhausting.
I didn't know. I actually think I'd stand corrected. So I see what you're saying. That is so interesting.
So thank God us man ones are getting together, podcasting and talking because girl, I miss you. I mean, sorry.
Yeah,
bro, I miss you.
Well, also like I definitely like to like gossip and talk more than my girlfriend does.
Oh, me too. Taylor hates
like,
to gossip.
Yeah. So
she's like, why are you so negative? She says,
oh my
me,
God, Ashley says that about me too. She goes, cause she, and the thing I remember, I go, I was only negative for about half an hour. I go, that's nothing.
Nothing.
I go, half an hour of negativity, half an hour of frustration and depression about career stuff. I go, that's nothing. I go, there's been
it's
days.
A good day.
I've been negative. That's a great day. And she goes, yeah, but like you need to, like, I can hear you and you're just going, like you're frustrated. And I was like, yeah, but like for half an hour. I go, half an hour. That's me putting in a lot of effort to just be negative for half an hour.
You know how hard
goes,
it is.
You know, she goes, you should be more grateful. Like, you know, your family's healthy. And I was like, yeah, you know, you're 100% right.
Yeah.
And she's very like level headed.
Oh my God. She is Taylor. Oh my
she's
God.
She's great. She really, really is great. She's a good person, good influence. So that's nice.
Yeah. That's
that
how
nice.
I feel about Taylor. So for a while I was fighting it and I was like, I want to be bad. And
right.
Now I'm like, I can't win these fights. What, I'm going to fight to drink every night of the week?
And that's
I'm
not,
gonna lose.
And that's not a good fight to win.
No shit.
You don't want to win. You don't want to be like, gotcha.
But I did say to her recently, so what? Like, what if we wake up in 5 years and you want to be vegan? Then I have to be vegan? When does the madness end?
Right.
Pretty soon she's going to be dressing me.
You don't have to. Well, that does happen. Ashley's been helping dress me, but she also knows how to put clothes together. So I'm like, all right,
wait,
I appreciate
is your girlfriend
that.
Doing your hair and makeup? Because your
she's
hair,
doing my hair, yes.
You're like it. Again, you've always been like
and
so attractive.
And she showed
attractive.
Me how to do makeup. And so I've been wearing makeup. And let me tell you, it's so fun. And I've been getting Botox and fillers. I'll keep it 100.
Emma, yes.
Yeah, I love getting Botox.
Girl one.
Yeah, could be.
Man would never.
See, you don't know. I mean, but it's so much in the attitude. My attitude is very inherently man one too. But that's not necessarily a good thing. But I've been getting the Botox I was getting before I met her.
Botox is the best.
And then I started getting fillers too, but that's because I was said, I need something in my face.
I want to get lips.
I've heard that's extremely painful.
My dad does it.
It's supposed to be really, really painful.
Well, I trust my dad though. And he said he'll like numb me out like nobody's business. But Tay is like, then she's the man one. She's like, no. And I'm like, then I'm going to lie to you and do it behind your back.
Right.
And I'll be gorgeous. And you'll be like, why are you so gorgeous? And I'll say, I don't
you
know.
You want to be careful with the lips because you don't want to be someone, you know what I mean? You just don't want anyone to ever know you've gotten any work done.
I know. I mean,
you know?
You've know I've gotten the Botox forever, but I mean, dude, I'm down for lipo. I'm deaf's going to get it. My titties popping.
I have a friend who did lipo and she said it was one of the biggest regrets of her life.
No.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know more info than that. She just said she seriously regrets doing it. I know a few people that have gotten their breasts done, and they two of them, and they're both happy with it.
I mean, so, I want to get it all done.
I mean,
LaToya Jackson, the fuck out of me.
I said, I want you to freeze my butt off. I don't like my butt. And they go, what do you mean freeze it off? I go, I heard about something where you freeze it off. I want my butt like reduced. And they were like, you mean like a butt lift or something? I was like, no, the butt frozen off. And they were like,
nah, you want no butt.
Cool sculpting, just, but on my butt.
You want
but
like
I don't
a cat.
Think,
you want just like a butt hole.
I just don't want my butt. I just want my butt little fucking propped up. But I started seeing a trainer so that, you know, we'll see any day now. But I just want the, you know?
And did you get a dog?
It's Ashley's dog. And I love that dog. It gives me a lot of happiness.
Emma.
It's just nice. You know, things in my personal life are going good. I've definitely been like more frustrated with career stuff because I guess I just feel like I've been like trying lots of different things and then I haven't had like something to really like pop. Something hasn't like really like clicked. Like I was doing a lot of stuff that didn't get picked up.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That happens.
This is the industry. It's the industry.
That's the business. Yeah.
So. Well, I will tell you, even from just like watching you post those clips, like I am seeing you evolve as a friend and a fan.
I appreciate
it. It's just like you are special ready. You're
so
ready.
There's none of that in sight. I mean,
disagree. I think it's just going to take one thing.
That ready, but now I don't have a good like team around me, like in a way that I used to a couple years ago, which
we'll
was
get
really
that back
great.
Up. We'll make that happen.
Because I was with this great guy and then he left and then I stayed at the company because I love this other guy there, which has been great. I still love that guy. So it's just, things have just been like different. Like the touring has been slowed down because I don't have a touring guy like I did before.
Yep.
It's just been, I don't have someone working specifically in stand-up anymore. So then I don't really have conversations about that. But I love the guy that does the acting stuff. Which, so he's too good. I mean, he gets me on so many auditions. If I was an actual actor, I had an audition the other day to play. I auditioned for like Days of Our Lives be like a gorgeous bartender.
Stop.
And I said, his name's Kent. I said, okay, Kent, we got to slow our roll here. I'm pretty cute. I have a nice face. I said, I don't know how you're getting me in on gorgeous bartender auditions because I go in and everyone's a supermodel. I mean, literally people are like 7'10".
Oh my God.
Supermodels. And he goes, oh, I just, you know, I send them a certain picture. I say, you know, I'm like, yeah, but you're too good. I don't need to go in this. I went on an audition to be an Asian thug, specific for Asian people. I said, see, this is a problem. What are you
saying?
For
those of you who don't know, Emma is not Asian.
I'm quite Caucasian. So I said, what are you saying to get me in the room here? I know you're very good. Slow your roll a little bit. And he said, I told him that, you know, you would be really good at being like the thug portion of it. So this is all great, but
and they're like, you know what,
good.
Maybe we'll change the ethnicity because she's so good.
And people, and then I'm not getting the stuff, but I'm like, you know, I'm like, what are you saying? You're too good. You know, I'm auditioning to be a fire hydrant. They're like, we weren't even casting a person for this, but now this guy's so good, he's gotten this person in the room and no one knows what's going on because he's so freaking articulate. He's so articulate and sincere. I mean, he's really, you're like, oh yeah, absolutely. But so he's great. I love him.
Here's what I think. I think in this industry, what you need to do is like, because I've been watching like all of our friends around us. Cause it is like, we were talking before, like almost, you know, everyone that's on my show now from not me through like different channels. It's a very small industry. And so we have like a lot of overlapping friends. And I'm seeing a lot of friends who are just like fucking pop, 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 pop.
And I made a decision.
Off.
I said for this year on Instagram, I am going to post everything. Like things are going exactly how I want. And I'll trick people. And ever since I started doing that, people go, oh, you're doing great. I said, well,
you know what I learned? End of 2019.
Yeah.
Act as if.
And
I hate it because
like a motherfucker.
I'm so authentic and so are you.
Yeah.
But just because you're being positive doesn't mean you're being bullshit.
And I love things like The Secret. You got to wish things into existence.
I'm telling you, Emma, like even my apartment, I do not deserve to live in this apartment.
You do.
But I'm living there. And like when people walk in, I have to go like this. This looks like I'm a millionaire, but I'm not.
Right.
I'm a good social climber.
Right.
And that's what that's about.
And they're like, okay, so I just wanted to drop off your Uber Eats order. And you're like, yes. Yes,
please don't
you.
Be intimidated by me, but thank you for the wine delivery.
Yeah, thank you.
Here's a $3 tip because that's all I can afford. I know it looks like I can afford a lot more, but that's a lie.
Just, you know, it's all a scam. And
but
they're
it's like all these little things that like, it's like I think about them, I manifest them, but not like in a crazy way. I'm not like vision boarding like every single day.
Right.
I think about it
Which
and then I'm like-
could be a good thing to do.
But I think about it and then I'm like, eventually.
Right.
And then when there's an opportunity to push it forward, I say, tap, 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 tap.
Mm.
And it's like, and then if not, I'm still patient. And then eventually though, it feels like it falls into my lap. But it's not because I'm like, oh, I planted that seed 3 years ago.
Right.
So that's what I'm starting to realize.
Scared? Do you ever wish things that you think aren't because
you can't. That's the thing is secret. Like you have to have
good
you're
energy.
Really
because,
worried about something. It's like your brain, in a fucked up way, thinks it's happening.
Right.
So you can't like you can get scared and be like worried and stuff. Obviously, that's just like the human survival of kicking in. But what you can't do is you can't like fix it on the negative because then that. could actually, like, positivity begets positivity and negativity begets negativity. Mm-hmm. So that's,
I want,
like,
a baguette.
Right?
Yummy,
I can't eat bread.
No, yeah.
Don't even say sorry, bread. No.
But I completely agree.
I love carbs. I'm dreaming. Talking about dreaming. I'm dreaming of bread.
Someday
I'll eat bread again.
Someday.
On my diet, I can't eat the bread.
But you're exactly right about the positivity. And it was, who was it that, I forget exactly who it was that said this. And he was like, you know, when you're thinking about someone else so much, or if you wish someone else like ill will, that's basically you wishing someone else is like taking poison for yourself and expecting it to affect them.
Yep.
And I was like, that's so true, because they're going to keep doing their thing regardless. And guess what? These people that we focus on, how's this person doing this or how's this person doing that? It's really not about them. It's all about me or you, or because it's like, no matter what you're in. Like, I remember when I worked in that office doing the recruiting, I remember there was this person. I go, how'd she get that? How'd she do that? And I didn't care about her. It was just it's that human thing to start looking around and see what's going on.
It's called yardsticking. Women do it all the time. Yeah. We're way worse than guys are.
Sometimes it's not necessarily bad to do, though. Sometimes I was trying to say, I was like, look, like, I'm seeing what this person's doing. There's too big a discrepancy between what I'm doing. How can I emulate that? Because they have something that I want.
Kate White, editor-in-chief of Cosmo Magazine, used to come on my radio show when I was serious all the time. It was Cosmo Radio back in the day. And she, best career advice she ever gave, she said, do not ignore jealousy. Everyone pretends everyone says, I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous.
Oh,
she said,
hello.
Jealousy is a human emotion.
That's all I need to hear, baby.
Right? She said, anger, happiness, sadness, these are all human emotions. Jealousy is one of the main ones.
Right.
And it's good because jealousy shows you what you wish you had and where there are voids in your life. And then you know what to focus on to fill that void. Here's where jealousy goes awry.
Okay, let's
hear it. When you make your jealousy about tearing that person down you're jealous of, that's when it doesn't work.
Right.
You have to almost like say, like my friend Nicole, right? We worked series together, neck and neck forever. She was on Chelsea Handler one time. And I remember I thought, I am so proud of her and so jealous, which means I'm to try to get myself in a position like that.
But
like, if I was really like, you know, using it in a negative way, I could have just like cut her down, talked shit about her behind her back, but I refused to, and I took a positive route and it works out for the better. And I'm telling you, it makes you feel, you're like, you feel so good about yourself.
Yeah.
It's like going to the gym. You're like, oh my God, I feel happy for someone.
Yeah. If you wish, or even if you're mad at someone and then you just say, I wish them well, I wish them the best. That can be empowering too. Easier said than done.
But there is something to like, not fake it till you make it, but like act as if.
Sure.
And like, you know,
no one knows what's going on.
Well, you are looking like you are crushing it.
Great. Good to hear.
Because I am, bitch.
Good to hear. Yeah, right. Sure. But I have been happier in my personal life. You know, things is just
That's huge.
It's huge. Things have just calmed down. And also when I think about certain things, I'm like, you know, I would never trade places with anybody. Like, I love my family.
Yep.
Like, you wouldn't trade those things. So it's like, there's like certain, even if someone has something you want, you wouldn't, what, you're going to sacrifice the things in your life that make you uniquely you? Not today.
I would trade with Lizzo. I want to be Lizzo, but that's just
really
me. Love, obsessed, die.
But
you
give up Taylor, your apartment, your mom, your dad.
Aw.
See?
Okay, fine.
Your brother. Aww. How's your brother doing?
He's good.
Good.
He doesn't like being talked about on the podcast.
Oh, fair. Never mind.
That's why I went quiet.
Wait, you know, my sister she worked in advertising for years. She was the valedictorian of Parsons, which is like a big advertising school.
It's crazy.
And she moved to Boston because she wanted more work-life balance. And now she had her second kid. She's like, I'm leaving advertising. I don't want to do it anymore. She wants to be a personal trainer.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is life, man. But that's the thing. Personal is so important. I know business is definitely important too.
And
but
everyone
was
like, what? Because she was so fixated on advertising. I mean, she's a really hard worker. So that's what she was doing. And then about a year ago, she started saying, I'm not happy with this. And she was like, I'm spending all my time. Like, I noticed a direct connection between when her happiness dipped and when she was working on an adult diaper account. But whatever it was that brought her to that moment, she ended up saying, you know, I'm parting ways. She's in school to become a personal trainer.
But that's the thing. I mean, I think as long as you got your personal life, like you are happy in your home, you are happy with your person or happy being alone. That's fine too. Like there's some people like your whole and your personal life. That's the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then
absolutely.
I feel like all the other stuff kind of will fall into place. So
totally.
I'm so happy you are in a good place with your personal life.
Yeah, totally.
Also,
that's nice. And I like being, there's something really nice about LA. You know, get to go to the grocery store.
I like LA. I mean,
being out of Manhattan is nice too, because your place is in New Jersey, right?
Yeah. I think there's a secret.
Do you miss it? Do you miss Manhattan at all?
I come in every day for work. I get to do all the things
true.
I used to do before, and then I get to leave. I think the big secret is Manhattan is a soul sucker.
Manhattan is too expensive. That's a big doozy.
And you don't get anything. Like, there is no, like, you don't get value. Right. Even when I was rich, it still wasn't satisfying.
Right.
So.
Are you in the Facebook group?
I'm not in my Facebook group.
And then there's a woman who works in HR at the place I do one of my podcasts. I don't know if it's HR or accounting. Did I tell you this? And
no.
When they sent me a check one time and she'd written like, "Hey girl, hey," on the envelope. And I was like,
stop.
Hey girl, hey.
Dude, it is a small world.
Small world. And I'm so proud of all the different co-hosts that you have. You've got a great like group of them.
We have a really good lineup.
And Hannah's doing stand-up now too.
Hannah's doing
good
fucking
for her.
Great. And you know, Sean Kilby's with Betches now. He's got a promotion.
Cool.
Like everyone's fucking thriving.
Are you still doing that Brides?
I am Betches Brides.
Betches Brides.
Yep.
How does it feel like when you're like working on wedding stuff all the time?
You know, well, I'm gearing up to propose to Tay.
OMG.
So
how are you gonna do it?
I don't know. We've talked about it. Like, I feel like all this pressure.
Taylor, stop listening.
I know, right? She's editing it. As the man one to be like to propose to her and like on bended knee and like
right.
And I was like, and she just wants to get fucking engaged. And I was like, Tay, I'm freaking out. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
I am a girl. I am the girl one. I don't know how to do this guy stuff. And so I think it might not be like such a big to do. And we might
what
just
if you
like,
put a ring in a cupcake? Wait, what's her favorites? That was not original off. I remember one time you said that, I remember you'd always be like, oh, she eats this stuff that, that like, I can't believe she eats it and stays thin. Like, doesn't she eat like white bread and like salami and stuff?
Candy bar.
What about the stuff that you totally
you
disapprove of her eating and then you put the ring in that motherfucker?
I don't disapprove of anything she does. She disapproves of everything that I do.
Right, son of a bitch. What if you go skiing and you put the ring in a ski boot?
She can't ski.
Ah! I'm out of ideas.
I tried, Taylor. Thank you.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But
that is exciting though, to gear up to propose.
Yeah. So this
is
like,
be so fun.
That's like big stuff, you know? And then like in the marriage, the whole thing. But how do we
get
on the topic?
I asked you how the bitches podcast is going.
Betches. So yeah, so it's great because I'm like, fuck yeah, hook a sister up with some vendors, baby.
Oh, right. Because now you'll know everybody so you can like get the free
you
whatever the hell. Yeah,
bartering
that's exciting.
Bartering is well and alive in my life.
Absolutely.
I'm not above that shit.
I'm not good at that. Ashley's very good at that. She's really good at bartering because she's really good at like when we were like furnishing the apartment, she was like going on these like sites where she was getting like really like designer stuff. Like we have this like insanely expensive coffee table that she got marked down to like $300. It's like a $4,000 table, but she got it from some place where we went and picked it up. I've never done anything like that in my life.
So wait, you're living together?
Yeah.
Girl, this is fucking awesome.
And it's in LA. And I mean, I'm still traveling a pretty good amount and then she'll travel and she has a place in New Orleans that she rents out because her family lives there.
Okay.
So she goes back there to see her family quite a bit too. But it's nice because I haven't been with someone who has a freelance schedule as well.
It's really nice.
So then we get to spend time together in pockets of time that I wasn't able to when I was with someone that was working a more traditional schedule.
Yeah.
You know? And she'll come with me to Vegas when I do shows in Vegas and stuff like that. So
it's
that's
nice to have your person with you. Like sometimes Tay comes on tour with us and it's like the fucking best, you know?
Yeah, it's nice.
Then it's like, I'm not missing anything.
And I like getting alone time too. So it kind of like works out that I feel like I get a good mix of it. And I've been having to work on being less messy because that was like a point of contention.
Uh-huh.
And I used to always get the laundry sent out and she said no.
No.
I said, because
I don't like strangers touching my stuff.
I don't give a fuck.
Emma, I could talk with you for a million years.
Yes.
I literally know you have to go. I'm actually where we went way over. And that's it for us, you guys, on
this episode
of Taste of Taylor. Make sure to check out Emma and all her stuff she's doing. She's on Instagram at Emma Willman.
Yes.
Two M's, two L's, two N's.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Inside the Closet with Mateo Lane and Emma Willman.
Yep.
And then, of course, Secret Keepers Club with Carly Aquilino.
Yes, thank you, Taylor. And I appreciate you guys so much. Your listener base from Taste of Taylor really like, you know, just from your shows in general really made me feel more comfortable with like cultivating my voice, even doing that man with stuff. Cause I was like, I don't know if that's relatable.
So good.
And I think it was crystal clear Christine, I think, who called in and was like, yes, it is. Or, you know, I've developed relationships with some of your like listeners, you know what I mean?
The
like shout out to
really
Bob.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
Bob,
Nat, like
Bob
it's,
to Bob.
It's really not, you know what I mean? Like it's just really, really just like such a great group of people. And I love meeting you guys at shows. So it's really, it's fun. Thank you.
If you meet Emma, scream out, hey girl, hey.
Say, hey girl, hey.
She'll know what's up.
I'll know what's up. And every now and then someone said, hey girl, hey, and they don't listen to the show. And that's fucking awkward. That's not good for me. Hey girl, hey. And I go, oh my God, hey girl, hey, I can though. And they're like, what? And I'm like, oh, and thanks. You don't listen. They go, listen to what? And I'm like, man.
Fuck. No. That's it for us. You guys, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Emma, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you guys, that's it for us this week. Back next week. Bye, girl. Bye.